the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Amen. Well, as I said, this coming Tuesday, is the 500th anniversary of Brother Martin Luther's posting of his 95 theses for debate. It is probably the case that Luther did not nail his debate propositions to the church door, as we have been told. We do know for certain that he wrote several letters that day, because he dated them, and that Lutherans concerned about the indulgences were included in those letters. The full 95 theses may not have come together until sometime later. So Luther did post his theses that day, but it was more probably as a posting of a letter rather than nailing them to the church door. In fact, he wouldn't have used nails because the custom at that time was to paste things to the door. Nevertheless, nailing hammers home a great icon for the start of the reforming movement. Our texts for this Reformation Sunday are the key texts of the Reformation. Jeremiah talks about a new covenant, a new promise for the people of God. Psalm 46 is the inspiration for our hymn of the day, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Romans is the letter from Paul that opened Luther's hearts to the good news of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works of the law. In other words, we do not earn our salvation. We cannot earn our salvation by doing good things, but rather through Christ who made us God's own people in spite of our sinful, selfish ways. And finally, today's Gospel of John reminds us that Christ is the Word of God, the Word who effects salvation for the entire cosmos. When we talk about the Word of God, we Lutheran Christians speak of it in four ways: the Word incarnate, the written Word, the spoken Word, and the sacramental Word. First and foremost, we speak about Christ as God's Word come in the flesh. The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, which became flesh and lived among us." God's Word is none other than Jesus, who, though he was Christ, did not cling to his heavenly station, but set it aside for our sake and for the sake of all humanity. He took on our nature. He became one of us. We refer to this as the Word incarnate, the Word in the flesh, for that's what incarnation means. Christ in human flesh. Jesus is the Word of God that makes all understandings of the Word tenable. Christ is the divine Word who took humanity in the Godhead forever in order that we might be able to understand and apprehend what creatureliness is all about. To experience birth, to know growth, temptation, human love, pain, suffering, and ultimately the loss of life itself, not because God needed a bloody sacrificial death, but rather as an expression of God's great love for us all. The incarnate Word is nothing but the humble Word of love, the love of the Creator for the creation. God is love, and Christ, his Word incarnate, is an expression of God's love to us. But there's more to the Word of God, for the Scriptures themselves are God's Word as well, inerringly to the Word of God incarnate. They are the expression of God's mercy and grace. The Word is the cradle which holds Christ for us, who reveals God's goodness to us in a world that is filled with loud competing voices, voices which threaten to drown out God's words of grace, mercy, and love. When the world around us threatens war, the Scriptures speak peace. When the voices of our lives announce despair, the Scriptures speak hope. When the declarations we hear sound cruel, the Scriptures speak kindness. When these declarations are evil, the Word in the Scripture tells us of goodness. When all around us shout disturbing insults at us, the gentleness of the Scriptures whispers a note of calm in our ears. When our words abandon us, the Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. when the world spews hate, racism, discrimination, and lies, the Bible sings a chorus of love. Those who see only judgment and condemnation in Scripture are not reading the Bible in its fullness. They are not reading the Bible in its context, but are missing the kernel of the gospel, the good news which expresses God's first and ultimate care for that which God created. Beloved, when God spoke the world into being, God said it was good. And in a final estimation, God called it very good. That is not to say that evil is non-existent, but rather that Christ came to quell all evil and at the last to put evil in its proper place. Yet Lutheran Christians have still more to say about the Word of God. For God's Word is not just ink on paper. In fact, before quill was put to parchment and ink to papyrus, God's word was a spoken word. In the First Testament, the judges and prophets first spoke God's word aloud to the people. And in the apostolic age, the apostles spoke that word that Jesus had first spoken to them, women as well as men. In fact, the very first apostles were women. Who were sent to proclaim the resurrection to guys who didn't even believe them, and they had to run to the tomb to see for themselves. Today, that spoken word is still alive among us. As we tell our children God loves them, as we teach our confirmands that they too can proclaim the love of God to the world that they also inhabit, as they along with us strive for justice and peace in all the world, whenever we follow the example of Christ in our lives, when we gather to sing praises and songs of faith and worship, we sing God's word. When we send expressions of kindness, God's kindness is proclaimed. When we speak the good news of the gospel, and the gospel is always and only good news, we express the word of God to our fellow human beings. We are not only God's hands and feet, but we are also God's mouthpiece. Whenever we use our lips to express God's grace and mercy, we are speaking God's word. When the word Christ is proclaimed by others, when the words of scriptures get up off the page and become real in our mouths and in our lives, then God's word is not a static word, but a living word, a word which makes faith active in love. Those words of kindness and love do not save us. Remember that, dear friends. Christ's love has already accomplished salvation for us in the Christ event. But every expression of God's grace is a result of God's word already active in our lives. Finally, there's a fourth expression of God's word, the word that is a tangible expression of who God is. Luther said that God works through means of grace, through stuff, everyday ordinary things like water, bread, and wine. When the stuff and the spoken and living word of God come side by side at font and table, that stuff, those elements are an expression of the word of God for us. We can feel God upon our brow at the font. We can taste God in our mouths at the altar rail. The word no longer stays in the bowl or on the plate or in the cup, but we take it into our very self, and that word becomes part of us and changes us from within. In, with, and under this stuff, God comes to us, and we hear the word of God as it courses through our lives. When we receive these sacraments, the sacramental word at the font and table, then God in all of God's communal fullness abides in our lives, changing us and challenging us to be that which we were created to become, the very people of God. This 500th anniversary of the Reformation is just the beginning of the Reformation. For God's life-giving word is continually active in reforming the lives of God's people. And you are God's people, whether you believe in God or even if you don't. God's word is alive and active in you now, even as you hear these words of mine, for they are spoken from the very heart of God's love. God's love is not for a few. In the apocalypse, it is revealed that when the page is turned, the number standing before God's great throne is so great, so many, that no one is even able to number them. People from every tribe, every nation, every people, every language. Moreover, in today's first lesson, we learned that we shall all know the word, the Lord, from the greatest of us to the least. And God's instruction, for that's what the word law means, instruction, God's word, if you will, shall be a part of us, written on our very hearts. And God will be our God, and we shall be God's people, forgiven, renewed, restored, reformed. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.